Shoots.
Another fantastic show of awesome, awesome music. So blessed, really, to be a part of the station here that loves you and has such dedicated volunteers coming in and making awesome, awesome stuff, sharing their passion for audio with you. Coming up right next, we've got Out of the Box. It's a weekly call-in show. Talk about things going on here in the islands, things in your Ahupua'a, across the archipelago and around the world. So you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. So happy to have you here sharing your afternoon with us. And I want to thank the fantastic underwriters, people who, just like you, help KKCR not only survive, but thrive.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Open Monday through Friday, now a second location in Kapa'a, 822-0711, or Southside Center at 332-5580, or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
Qingyang Shopping Village proudly supports Kauai's community radio by underwriting this program. Qingyang, the heart of Hanalei. Mahalo, Jeff Culverhouse, for your support.
Thank you to Kalaheo Chiropractic and to Qingyang Village. Support like that that helps power this listener-powered radio station. So mahalo to them and mahalo to you. Coming up now, we've got Out of the Box. So I gotta play this.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
That's right. Hey, you know, KKCR is Kauai's independent, non-commercial, listener-supported community radio station, and our overall mission is to stimulate, educate, and entertain, to preserve, perpetuate, and celebrate Hawaiian culture, and to reflect the diversity of the local and world community. At Out of the Box, we don't pretend to be fair and balanced. We leave that to the blogs on the internet webs and the corporate sock puppets and the wholly owned commercial media. At Out of the Box, we provide a forum for overlooked, suppressed, or underrepresented voices and ideas. How are we doing? We would love to get your feedback. Give us a call here at the station, 826-7771, or send me an email, jjkawaii@gmail.com. Always looking for feedback from you. If you have ideas or suggestions about something you feel we should cover, we welcome your active participation. Please join our growing team of community affairs programmers by calling the station during office hours at 826-7774 and become a KKCR volunteer. If you feel we're missing something important, a part of the story that is critical to understanding the issue, step up and make that call. Be the balance you desire to hear on your community radio. And finally, thanks for your support and for being the community in our community radio station. We literally could not do it without you. So, phone lines are open. 826-7771. We're going to take a little musical break here. Make sure that everybody knows that no matter how you feel, no matter what your views are, if they're based on your authentic experience and you really do feel that way, happy to discuss, happy to share, happy to listen, and happy to learn a little bit about the world as you see it, as you understand it. You know, here at this talk show and others, I can't speak for the way other people run the show when they're doing it, but when I host, I'm not trying to get into an argument with anyone or persuade you that I'm right and somebody else is wrong. What I'm more interested in is learning. I feel if someone has a different view from me, wow, I just got a bigger part of the world. I have more of the world to appreciate. So try to model that in terms of the discussion here and demonstrating respect for a divergence of views. And if that's you, do give us a call, 826-7771. No matter what you feel, no matter what you think, no matter how you say it, as long as you be respectful to everyone else, This is a wonderful place to share your understanding of the world.
I tremble.
That's kind of how the world seems to be these days, you know. And it's funny. I don't know if things are any better or any worse than they ever were. But if a tree falls in Siberia, my God, you'll hear about it. And speaking of the North, the Great North up there in the Arctic Circle, President Obama has been up in Alaska talking about the devastating change that scientists are beginning to pile up observational data in support of all over the world in regards to climate change. Went to a meeting last night here on Kauai, sponsored by Apollo Kauai. Very, very interesting presentation. I thought it was real interesting that at the same time that Obama was up in Alaska, recognizing the global threat that climactic shift is presenting to us, that he also was increasing permitting for drilling up there, new explorations. And if you've noticed in the churn recently, there's a new race at the North Pole, for the North Pole, for resources, for all of the petroleum resources that they figure are lay untapped up there. So that's an interesting sort of a contradiction there. You know, yes, we have a problem, full steam ahead. Speaking of problems we'll see them ahead, it seems like the ceasefire in the Ukraine might be a little bit fragile right now. Recent spats there, some shelling and on the coast towards Mariupol. And NATO has announced that they have approximately 40,000 troops in motion in a large-scale military exercise. What else? We got the GOP. That's a very, very fascinating set of perspectives. As I think there's 17 candidates there roaming around for conservative electors. And Mr. Trumpity Doodah, seems to be way out in front of the pack. Evidently, his particular mixture of confidence and pugnaciousness seems to be striking a chord with the base, the Republican base. Jimmy Tokioka, our representative in the 15th district, was in the news recently. He pleaded no contest to a misdemeanor charge, a campaign finance violation where he failed to correctly report his campaign contributions. What else? What's going on in your neck of the woods? What's going on in your Moku? What's happening in your Ahupua? The phone lines are open at 826-7771. There's tons we can talk about. What's on your heart? What's on your mind? Give me just a moment here and press some buttons. I believe, Aloha caller, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Aloha. Thank you. I recently read an article, not the whole article, but the kind of the gist of it in National Geographic.
Uh-huh.
February 2015. And it was pretty clear to me. It's called Healing Our Soldiers, Unlocking the Secrets of Traumatic Brain Injury.
Ah, okay, sure. That's a big deal.
And it says what we're seeing appears to be unique to BLAST, an injury unique to military experience. And what's happening is the troops are getting, of course, blasted with the sound from a blast.
Yeah, they're experiencing concussive damage.
Yes, exactly.
And the brain tissues are particularly susceptible to that. It's almost like a jelly. You know, you have a big acoustic blast, it's going to rattle you pretty good.
Well, what happens is that blast wave hits the bloodstream, and that reverberates up to the brain and causes the bleeds. So, which tells me that indeed the blasting, the sonar blasting and the blasting of military ammo into the ocean is causing the beaching and the disorientation and the bleeding out of the dolphins and the whales. They land on shore and they're found bleeding to death. And which shows me that it is really, really caused from the military blasting in the sonar is just horrific on the marine life.
I think that's a very interesting connection that you made there in terms of, you know, GIs experiencing brain tissue damage from IEDs and such, and then making the connection to what it must be like in the underwater acoustic environment. Yeah, that's I'm really intrigued. How did you put one and one together there? That's really interesting.
It just came to me because it's so horrific that the military has the audacity to feel that they can just go out there and drop bombs. Now, if you and I wanted to go out there and drop bombs,
which you know, let the record be clear that I don't like to do that. It's not my thing.
I think you were the type.
Yeah, I'm not really.
Yeah. A lot of karma with that.
Yeah, love bombs. I drop a love bomb.
There you go. Drop petals, whatever. But not out of helicopters that, you know, wreck forest birds' nests. You know what I mean? I'm that way, too. But, it just came to me. I read this, and it just kind of clicked, and I had that aha moment, and I thought, yeah, you don't need to scientifically, log all the data on the whales and say we don't have enough information because here it is. You know, it's right here in black and white in the National Geographic.
Yeah, but but they were talking about something completely different.
Exactly. And I wondered also, I wanted to talk to Terry, the marine biologist, or maybe Mr. Heathcote, about now the sonar blasting and the blasting in the ocean, is that intensified? Because once you start with, you know, a wave, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. So as this blast wave goes through the ocean, does it get even stronger?
I shouldn't think it would get stronger because energy, you know, dissipates as it takes up a larger expanse. But I do know that, you know, for example, our atmosphere, it's much more transparent to light than it is to sound. Our air carries sound, you know, pretty effectively, but not even anything remotely like what water does. Water as a medium is much more conducive to carrying sound. And I know that that whales, like blue whales, I know that when they make their large, super low frequency rumbles, their emanations, that sound wave goes out from them and bounces off of the terrain of the bottom and of the salinity layer, and goes out for hundreds of miles before returning, that they are able to take that information and process it in their gigantic whale brains and then have like a map, a three-dimensional sonar created map of their environment. So I know that sound in the ocean is really a primary means of information gathering about your environment.
Correct. Yeah. And of course, I know a lot of people watched The Big Blue. That was on PBS for the last three nights. As what's happening in Monterey Bay, there is just an influx of this, you know, the all kinds of whales, killer whales, and
pilot sharks, whales, and yeah,
and the big blue whale, and I mean just amazing marine life there right now, and the scientists have never ever seen it. There's tropic birds there that have never been there. Just all kinds of marine life gathered there this week to feed. And, you know, the water, they said, is 5 degrees warmer than it's ever been.
Yeah, and if you think about it, for the ocean to be overall warmer, it's difficult to imagine, like, the amount of heat energy that the entire ocean can absorb before it starts ticking up a few degrees. It's pretty flabbergasting.
Yes, yes.
Well, I'm really intrigued by that flash of insight that you had, because that's always, you know, science with its methodological approach to gathering gigantic quantities of data.
Correct.
You know, that's kind of like bean counting, and that's a very much slower way of getting to the conclusion than these kind of inexplicable insights where it's just suddenly, wow.
Yeah,
hey.
It's interesting that humans were used in this experiment to prove what a blast can do in order to figure out what's happening to a mammal under the sea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very intriguing. Well, I really commend you for having that fall into your lap.
It's just a intuition, you know. It all comes from another source, as we know.
Yeah, well, it's funny. Even my best ideas, they're not really mine. I just happen to be sitting in the right place when they landed in my lap.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you. And another thing, the U.S. military / government is coming up with super-duper icebreakers. That's
right.
That they want to take to the Arctic. Well, right. I mean, that's another, like, oh, my gosh.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the new race to the North Pole. Evidently, there's Santa Claus is up there with like a gigantic stockpile of
under that ice.
Yeah, carbon reserves of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And
yum yum.
Can't get enough of that. Just love to eat. Hey, what's for dinner? Oil.
Yeah, petrol.
Yummy carbon chains. Yeah, you'd think that we'd have had enough of that yet, but evidently it's our destiny to liberate that stored energy from millions of years ago and create as much plastic as we possibly can.
That's right. We have a floating planet.
Yay.
Well, good luck, everybody.
Yeah, right. I think we're going to need it.
And watch what you buy. Read your labels.
Thank you so much for calling in. Please do call again.
Aloha.
Phone lines are open, 826-7771. It's ironic that Obama was, you know, just now trying to apologize to the Alaskan communities and recognizing again that the name of the tallest mountain in the North America is not Mount McKinley, not named after some, you know, president in the late 1900s, but had a name for thousands of years by the people who lived there, Mount Denali. So on the one hand, like, yeah, we're sorry. Yes, global warming is a problem, and we need to find more oil. It's kind of, it doesn't really add up in my book. But hey, that's just me. What do you think? 826-7771. Always interested to get you on the air. After all, this is your community radio, and these airwaves belong to each and every one of us. So, 826-7771. Do give us a call. On September 17th, going to have a guest in the studio, journalist John Lettman, who just came back from Okinawa, where he was doing research for a story there about the expansion of the U.S. military base in Okinawa, as part of the greater Pacific Asia pivot, as part of the overall military posture of the U.S., in terms of how America relates to the rest of the world. So that should be a real interesting article. The article itself is fascinating. The interview with John Lettman should be fascinating. So I look forward to sharing that with you. Let's see. I also wanted to play a little bit, speaking of scraping the back walls off the archive, X-Man was so generous to give me this. This is a recording of a out-of-the-box show from a couple of years back with a guest, one of the most fantastically well-loved voices on the FM dial here in Kauai. Perhaps you'll recognize him yourself. Phone lines are open, 826-7771. Thanks so much for tuning in to Out of the Box, sharing your afternoon with KKCR, the station that loves you. In the phone lines are open behind this caller, 826-7771. Thanks so much for calling in, caller. Aloha, you are on the air.
I didn't really want to go on the air, but I was just going to kind of mention maybe the reason people aren't calling in is they tuned out before your show came on. You know what I mean?
No, I don't. Please,
that techno stuff that was playing like 2 hours ago or something.
Oh, I thought that was...
I had to turn it off.
Oh, I thought that was fantastic.
You know. Okay, thank you. Bye.
All right, thanks. Yeah, you know, one of the things that's so great about KKCR is the incredible diversity of music that is played. You know, there are volunteers. I think there's like 60, 70, 80, maybe more volunteers who come in here day in, day out and share with you the passion they have for the music they love. And, you know, if you don't love the music that you're hearing right now, just wait an hour because there'll be something fantastic-er coming on right after that. Stick around tonight because we've got Evolve coming up with Dove at 6. he plays all kinds of stuff that he doesn't even know he's going to play. Then after that is Slim with Mystery Train, and then I think Commodore with Locomoco. And each of those shows are completely different from each other, so if one isn't your cup of tea, the next will be a steaming hot cup of Java for you. If techno isn't your thing, hey, that's what we've got talk radio for. I appreciate you calling in and sharing your views. And if you don't hear the kind of show that you really wish you were hearing on KKCR, hey, you know what? Call up the station, 826-7774. Leave a message if it's outside of business hours, and you can volunteer to become a DJ or part of the public affairs or community affairs show here. Or there's so many different ways to get involved at the station. So, you know, I would love to not be here in the studio by my very self right now. It'd be great if there was someone here to answer the phones, or if you had a story that you wanted to present, I could just quietly run the board for you while you brought your expertise to the airwaves of our community island radio station. The number to call right now is 826-7771. The phone lines are open, and we are here for you. Thanks for tuning in to Out of the Box this afternoon. Let's see what we got here. Kind of love that didgeridoo, huh?
This is KKCR Hanalei and KAQA Kilauea, Kauai Community Radio. This is Out of the Box, Closet Free Radio, an answer to the New World Order. Kauai.
All right. It's 4 o'clock now. And
this is Ron Wiley.
This is Ron Wiley in the studio. He's the co-host today.
Fantastic, huh? I mean, How great does that sound? You gotta love a station like this that, gosh, we'll just let anybody into the studio and onto the mic. Ron Wiley, if you're out there, we love you. Thanks so much for doing all the, God, I don't know what, 10,000 hours or a bajillion hours on the mic through storm, through sun, through wind, through rain. It's an amazing career that you've had, so I want to get you back into the studio here one of these days soon. Right now, the phone lines are open, 826-7771. Dove just sticking his nose in the studio, checking out. Phone lines are open. Talk about whatever you want to talk about. Talk about the music that we just had. Talk about some of the shows we've got coming up later tonight or this week. It's your station. It's your show. And until someone calls in, I'm going to introduce this topic to you, and that is recent developments with the trial about Mauna Kea. If you've been listening to this show and others over the last several months, you're probably aware that a large international consortium of science administrators secured funding from a billionaire computer tycoon to build the world's largest telescope on top of Mauna Kea. Well, not actually exactly on top, more over the top, because there's not actually any room left on top of the mountain. So in order to find space for this new gigantic telescope that's actually three times bigger than all of the other telescopes up there combined, they actually had to extend the road for another mile or so and go on to the northern flanks of the summit. They wanted to be there to get a nice, clear, unobstructed view of the northern hemisphere, because that's sort of the value position of Mauna Kea on the planet in that it's equatorial, but it's on the northern half of the equator, so it can see all of the northern sky. But in their efforts to press forward with their monster telescope, they kind of glossed over the fact that it's a conservation area on the summit and that the conservation area is designed to protect the delicate, fragile, and extremely rare ecosystem found in very few parts of this planet. The summit of Mauna Kea is almost 14,000 feet up into the air. It's about 40,000 feet. It's 40,000 feet above the surface of the ocean where it erupts. So it's actually it's the tallest peak on the planet. It's about almost a mile higher than Mount Everest from summit to base. But it's an incredibly rare and fragile ecosystem up at the summit there. If scientists were to discover that kind of an environment on another planet, and the tenacious, endemic and rare life that exists there and only there and nowhere else in the world, they'd be freaking out. They'd be like, oh my God, we found life on another planet. So it's kind of crazy that these astronomers are so keen to find life elsewhere that they're willing to trample it here and ignore the people who say, hey, you know what? This is a special place. This is a sacred place. This is a place that's best left undestroyed, untrampled, unbulldozed, unblasted, unpaved. This is a place that that has provided a sacred and profound connection, spiritual connection, and a place where life on this world can actually almost connect to the heavens themselves. So it's great that you want to do astronomy, but don't do it here. So there's the cultural reasons, but then going back to the whole conservation district thing, there's laws designed to prevent large-scale development from occurring in a conservation zone. And the telescope facility they're proposing is like 18 stories high. It's a $1.5 billion research facility. It's the very exact kind of a thing that the laws exist to give close scrutiny to. And that building is so gigantic that it wouldn't be allowed to be built on any other part of the big island. It's taller than any other commercial tower, any other hotel, any other facility, anything. It would be the tallest building on the whole island, and it would be on the summit of a 14,000 foot volcano in the center of a conservation district. So anybody who knows those things, who thinks that astronomy is groovy, like I do, they go, okay, well, that's pretty amazing. Maybe that's not the right place for that building. And if you take a look at the laws and the 8 criteria that are laid out for what a proposed facility needs to conform to, several of them seem to be egregiously not met by the TMT. And so you have to wonder, well, why did the DLNR give a pass on this? And what people have been saying all along is they're not following their own law. They're not following due process. This is not right, and they should never have granted the permit. Well, that permit has been appealed all the way up to the Supreme Court in the Hawaii Supreme Court, and those hearings have finally begun. In spite of the fact that the TMT has been trying to bum rush the mountain for months now, and the only reason they've been blocked is not because the Supreme Court hasn't heard this appeal yet, but because people have physically stood in the way of construction crews trying to get up to the summit. And the state, rather than being an honest broker in the whole affair, has created new laws, conjured new laws out of the thin air to give them new powers to block people from obstructing this project that they have given a green light to, in spite of the fact that they may not have been following their own laws. So finally, that case has been heard. And here's some commentary from Lana Kila Manguel last week summarizing what happened in those hearings, some of the testimony being presented by the lawyers.
send good prayers of oyaio, of truth, and aloha to these, to the justices of the Supreme Court. First time in a long time, I've heard some really awesome, they were asking the right questions and really pulling forth the same calls and the things that we've been saying from day one. And so for me, what's really good about that is it starts to make even more legitimate the claims that protectors, petitioners, that, you know, we got to always consider the masses. The masses may be looking at this stuff and with Western kind of thinking, like, oh, more protesters. But now that the justices were pointing out the exact same questions and the exact same reasons that we've been talking about this whole time, it really helped to solidify that this was a very legitimate case that we had filed, or that the petitioners filed. So we really want to aloha our seven petitioners who have been fighting on this for many years. You know, and I'm a firm believer in our spiritual connections and Ho'aelona. And just so the timing of everything was impeccable. You know, they held the ground for 7 years of protest, of lawsuits, in particular the TMT. But remember, this fight for Mauna Wakea has been going for years before that. And so to all of the Kia'i Mauna from way before, to help, maybe they just had to hold the forefront until the next generation is ready to come in with what we had to help feed into our defense, which has helped to spark, again, one of the biggest unification, everybody. So just a couple of things in court. Yesterday, one of the biggest things that the Chief Justices was really nipping at the state and lawyers on was based upon the fact of them passing the permit prior to the contested case. That was one of the biggest ones. So it's really yesterday in the, there's four main topics that they were going to hit, but the main one that was being addressed was basically, that's what they call it? Due process. And there's some really good quotes. Go check out Nomi's page on Facebook. Babes Against Biotech got some good quotes that are on there. One of the chief justices is really calling on them, like, let me read you what your law is. It's like they were just bogus. The only defense I could hear from them that they were offering as to why they did that, now get this, was almost as they were trying to say, like, we did that to help the petitioners so that they would know what they're actually contesting. And even, just, it was funny, just look at the justices' faces, all go like, what? It was just like, so, bogus kind of stuff like that. Another court, chief justice really pointed out the fact of, that's not the process. So please tell me, when did the DLNR start adopting that kind of process? I've never heard so much stuttering from a lawyer in my life. But of course, for myself, it's a court. I don't ever put 100% trust into anything in the court system. However, we give pule. I really want to aloha. There was a few individuals who actually went to the Capitol the night before too and held a 9 p.m. to 9 a.m. vigil, and prayer vigil, as well as a rally outside of the building, the courthouse that morning. And it was just very beautiful. So we send a shout out to our ohana on Oahu Okaku Iheva, all of the Oahu people who were able to come out and help to show that support too. It was solid. So just in the sense of holding on, when so many of us maybe have doubted a lot of things in the beginning, saying there's no hope, that's what that, you know, keep striving, keep going, yeah. So basically, in just a roundup of yesterday's court case, we pretty much walked out of there for the first time walking out of a court, getting to feel like, yeah! So you heard some oyaiko, you heard some truth coming out in that courtroom, which is a noble thing. And so we keep our prayers for truth and justice in the justices as much as we can. So mahalo nui, aloha.
Yeah, pretty interesting stuff. I got a chance to actually go online and listen to some of the testimony, some of the presentation that the lawyers were making. And I think it's pretty interesting. I think that you might be interested in having a listen as well. Check this out.
And then in that same hearing, that
this is,
well, we're not going to.
This is, attorney Richard Werdemann, who is he's the lawyer for the plaintiffs, which are the Mauna Kea, Aina Hui, Clarence Ching, Flores Case, Ohana,
Deborah Ward, Paul Neves, and Kahea, the Hawaii Environmental Alliance. So this is really fascinating stuff. So you'll hear Richard Werdeman speaking first, followed by Jay Handlin. He's the attorney for the UH at Hilo and the different Supreme Court judges. So I'll let you just listen. This is pretty fascinating.
Your chance for a contested case hearing, after they already ruled, albeit what they called a conditional approval, which was essentially nothing more than saying we're going to stay construction until we hold these contested case hearings. Why would the Board of Land and Natural Resources make a conditional finding to begin with? There's nothing in our rules that allow for it. There's completely arbitrary and capricious.
So my question is there some way in which it's prohibited, and does that rule have any bearing at all in whether this was appropriate or not, in your view?
Certainly, due process, a meaningful time in a meaningful manner. There's certainly and the right to be heard. The right to be heard before a decision is made, before a quote-unquote conditional decision is to be made. That's what's critical here.
If in every instance where somebody makes a request for a contested case before the agency has voted on an application, then you have to stop everything, hold the contested case.
And just so you know, that's this right now speaking is Jay Handlin. He's the attorney for the UH Hilo.
And the agency could be waving their hands and saying, we're going to deny that one. You don't have to go bother to have a contested case.
You have an opportunity as the participant requesting a hearing for testimony that's under oath. You can cross-examine. And you get an opportunity to therefore focus on the evidence in front of the decision maker, hopefully causing them to make a decision in your favor. You forfeit that opportunity if the decision is made ahead of time, right? So your interest that you're describing on behalf of the public, in that you give them the benefit of knowing what the decision is going to be so they can decide whether to have a contested case or not, do you really think that that outweighs the interests of a member of the public of getting those extra due process protections and being able to present the evidence before a board that hasn't made a decision yet?
I think process that was due and above and beyond was afforded here.
Well, that may be your point of view, but under the law, the difference between the legislative context where you have a public hearing and the quasi-judicial context where the board is sitting in a contested case, under the law, is considered to provide greater due process protections. That's just the settled law.
In this case, the administrative agency was ruling in a quasi-judicial function. In terms of the contested case hearing, it is a quasi-judicial function, not an executive function or a legislative function, which is the rulemaking function of an administrative agency. There are certain fundamentals of just procedure which are the same for every type of tribunal and every type of proceeding. A fair trial in a fair tribunal is a basic requirement of due process. Justice must not only be done, but manifestly be seen to be done. So, if an administrative agency is dealing in a quasi-judicial function, it's acting in a way in which a court would act. Do you think that due process would allow a court, for example, in a trial, in a situation in which a plaintiff files a lawsuit, for the judge to say, here is my judgment in favor of the plaintiff. We will now have a trial. And if you convince me otherwise, I'll change my mind.
Courts routinely are presented with situations when they are called upon to make a preliminary determination on the merits.
I was a trial judge for a long time. I don't recall ever making a decision where I decided the case before the trial.
No, Your Honor. And indeed, that did not happen here.
I think it did. Well, at least the argument can be made. The permit was issued.
You had a permit that said, essentially, this permit cannot be acted upon.
And no, it can only, that's not what it said.
And
what
it can only ever be acted upon after a contested case hearing is held, if the university prevails, and then after the BLNR, following the contested case, the full contested case hearing that the BLNR itself ordered be held, is resolved in favor, that the BLNR renders a final decision in favor of the application going forward. So the permit...
The permit actually approved the TMT management plan, did it not?
It did.
So a lot of that interrogatory, that discussion back and forth, it can make you glaze over pretty easily. But the essence of what they're saying, as I understand it, is that it's not reasonable or fair or just. It does not provide due process. It does not provide an egalitarian equal access to the protections that laws are created for in the first place. It's no good if the DLNR grants a permit for the TMT to go forward before they've even heard the contested case. And that in essence, that's what the discussion is going on back and forth there. And it's really quite refreshing to listen to the Supreme Court judges kind of grill the attorney for UH, because they are they're one of the organizations that the TMT is acting in concert with, providing the in-house, inside angle, the inside job to get this TMT greased and slipped through the system. Just to be clear, I love astronomy. I think it's amazing. But I don't think it's the only way to look at the universe, and I do think that they should follow the same laws that everybody else should follow, no matter how cool their project may be or how much, how many pretty pictures they may be able to take snapshots of the nighttime sky. So nothing against astronomy, but, hey, follow the law, 826-7771, your chance to chime in, either pro or con, about large-scale developmental schemes that seek not to follow the environmental laws designed to prevent them from happening, or anything else that's on your heart and mind. This is your community radio station. These airwaves belong to you in the community. So 826-7771 is the number to call if you've got something on your heart or on your mind that you want to share. The phone lines are open. We're going to go back to some more of this discussion back and forth with the Hawaii State Supreme Court, kind of grilling spokespeople for the TMT effort and also for the DLNR, the Department of Land and Natural Resources. They're the governing agency that issued the permits for the TMT project to go forward before they'd ever heard the case to contest it.
So you only have one condition in this entire permit that is stayed, and a stay is something completely different than conditioning something. It just means that here's your permit and you cannot go forward with one specific item.
And in fact, there was at least one written request already for a contested case hearing, correct?
There was really no perfected contested case hearing, I don't think, at the board meeting, because the facts were...
You can't perfect until afterwards.
I think if in Kila Kila, for example, they made both oral requests and written requests early and often. So they had a bunch of oral and written requests. And at that point, under the Kila Kila case, I think the board should have just said, okay, we're gonna hold this contested case. However, in this particular case,
Can I read you your own rules? Your own rules say that it has to be both oral, written, must be made no later than the close of the board meeting, and then it also says, an agency or person so requesting must also file a written petition with the board no later than 10 calendar days after the close of the board meeting. I'd like to ask you something else, and that is, let's suppose that the university had not prevailed at the contested hearing, what would you have done with the permit that had already been issued?
The new permit basically supplanted the old.
If they did not
prevail at the contested case hearing, the board would have voted to deny a permit.
But the permit was granted. There was one condition stated. In any case where a permittee has failed to comply with any of the conditions contained in a permit, the board may direct the chairperson to revoke the permit. That hadn't occurred, because even if the stay was in effect, they hadn't failed to comply. So you couldn't revoke a permit under that provision. And I'm quoting from Justice Nakayama's majority opinion in Kila Kila. Furthermore, as KOH argued, and I'm quoting, nothing in BLNR's rules would allow it to first grant a conservation district use permit, second, conduct a formal contested hearing, and then revoke the conservation district use permit. And then Justice Acoba in the minority says the same thing. As KOH argued, there's nothing in the rules that would provide for a revocation of the permit in the event that KOH prevailed at the contested case hearing. In fact, I think the only way you can revoke it is if you go to court. And then I was trying to think through this, that you would go to court and say, Judge, would you please revoke the permit that we just issued because we improperly issued it?
I think that the board did have the power and authority to revoke the permit.
Pretty hard to follow that reasoning, and I really appreciate the clarity that the Supreme Court judges were bringing to the issue by drilling right down on kind of the absurdity of the process that they literally were making up, with only one obvious intended outcome, and that is to get the project done that they supported because, hey, let's face it, they have a financial interest. The state financially benefits from projects like this. So very interesting, very fascinating. I don't know where exactly that case is in terms of its time frames, how much longer it'll go on, but we'll certainly get back to you with updates on that when new information arises. On the phone with us right now, I think we've got Kay Howe from the Lawful Hawaiian Government. Are you there?
Yes, and it's Kale.
Oh, sorry, Kale. Thank you so much for calling in. Really appreciate it.
Yes, yes. And you know, you had that tape about TNT, yeah, Mauna Kea. And that's typical of what's been happening to the Hawaiian people. And what it is that U.S. law is being used outside its jurisdiction. Okay, so with that in mind.
Maybe you could explain that to the listener who's not familiar with what you mean by that. How is the U.S. law being applied outside of its jurisdiction?
Well, we're a Hawaiian kingdom, recognized as a Hawaiian kingdom. The state of Hawaii is illegally occupying the Hawaiian kingdom. U.S. law without a treaty being exercised in Hawaii is a war crime. So with that in mind, September 12th will be the fifth elections of the reinstated Hawaiian government. This year, we're accepting Kanaka Maolis can come up right up to the voting booth in all the community centers, Kekaha, Kalaheo, Lehui, Kapa'a, neighborhood centers, Anahola, Clubhouse, and our Waipa foundations. Those are the polling places for the reinstated Hawaiian government. Kanakas can come up there, register, and vote at the same time. One step.
One-stop shopping. That's fantastic.
Yes, yeah. So I'm excited because I expect plenty of Kanakas to hear Mauna Kea calling.
So,
I expect them to come up there and participate in the Hawaiian elections.
So for folks who didn't hear what you said the first time, all the different polling locations, this is going to be September 12th, yeah?
Yes, Saturday.
Saturdays.
From 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock,
okay.
All day.
All right, and so go slow through, starting with Kekaha.
Kekaha, Kalaheo, Lehui, Kapa neighborhood centers. Anahola Clubhouse, and Waipa Foundation.
So really all over the whole island.
Yes.
Fantastic.
And so, these are throughout the state.
So who is running?
But on Kauai, we're running just for Kauai. So you get to vote just for Kauai's.
So who is running for
representative
and for what offices? Okay.
So Kanakas can come up, register, and vote at the same time. First time it's being done. We made a lot of mistakes during the years, and now I think we've perfected it.
Well, you know, it's a complicated business getting a whole government off the ground. You can't just wave your arms and do that overnight. It takes time.
Yes.
And you got to take steps, and you got to make corrections, and you got to keep moving forward. And it seems like that's what you guys are doing. So, big respect to you for that.
Yes. And what my main purpose is to get Hawaiian laws in Hawaiian courts, not U.S. laws in Hawaiian courts. We are not in America. True statements.
Yeah, we're in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. I'm pretty sure this is Polynesia and not
any.
And
we need to chase U.S. law out of here. How do we do that? We make our laws stronger. More participation makes our Constitution stronger than the U.S. Constitution. We've got to get that Constitution out of here.
It's interesting. A friend pointed out to me recently that, you know, the U.S. Constitution says you can do certain things and you can't do certain things. You know, certain things are unconstitutional. Well, my friend pointed out to me.
That's hypocritical.
Well, my friend pointed out to me that you cannot have two constitutions, and the U.S. the U.S. Constitution doesn't apply here because there already is a Hawaiian Constitution.
Yes.
So I thought that was very interesting.
Yes, but we need more participation from the public saying this, so that the state listens to what the people are saying. Because right now, the state is not representing the people.
Well, they're representing the large-scale corporate interests.
People are
exactly.
Looking for other options, the true options, not this de facto stuff.
Kao, can I ask you to stick around for a moment while we do some top-of-the-hour station ID stuff?
Surely.
All right, awesome. Thank you. You are listening to KKCR Hanalei, K-A-Q-A, Kilauea. At 90.9 FM here in the North Shore and the Moku of Halelea, 92.7 in Moloa'a, Anahola, in the Moku of Ko'olau, 91.9 from the peak of Mount Kahili between the Moku of Kona and Puna, and also over on Hale'iwa on Oahu at 104.7, streaming live round the world at kkcr.org, and we've got some underwriters that we are very, very happy to be able to thank for helping keep KKCR on the air, broadcasting with a nice strong signal in so many different places to serve you and the different communities around the Kauai and the islands. And so thanks so much to these folks at Hawaii Life, the Tahiti Nui, and Kauai Compassionate Care. Let me start that again. The wrong button. There we go.
Brokerage Ohana proudly supports Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO Free Kauai. Agricultural biodiversity and sustainable farming practices such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
Kevin Bako, MD of Hawaii Compassionate Care, offers medical marijuana certification exams at his office in Kapa'a. Information and appointments available at 808-854-6335 or online at hawaiicompassionatecare.com.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Anahola, K284AL, Haleiwa.
Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon on Out of the Box. And with us on the line right now, we have Keao from the Lawful Hawaiian Government. I'm pretty excited to hear...
K-O.
Thank you so much for Kalamai for mispronouncing your name. Appreciate that. Thanks so much for being on air with us and walking us through the upcoming election.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to talk about the Hawaiian Kingdom again and try to get Hawaiian law that we can get this state out of here, U.S. law.
So tell us about some of the people who are running for office and the offices that they are seeking to fill.
Well, basically, there's still all the incumbents. There's not too many different people there except for the noble position where, because I'm running now, there are four now positions out of three that are elected. And the other representatives are incumbents, and they don't have any challengers.
So the structure is how many seats and how does that work and how many is like a parliament or explain?
It's Hawaiian Kingdom Legislature, and it's made up of representatives, 24 representatives throughout the islands, and 24 nobles, so a total of 48 in the legislature. And then your executive positions are ministers, defense minister, finance minister, Minister of Interior, Minister of Foreign Affairs, and the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister's office is also open for voting. So it's going to be six people altogether on Kauai and with one of the executive Prime Minister having been elected.
So are there three districts on Kauai in the kingdom?
Three districts. Divided into three districts. You know, I can't go over them right now because I'm not clear of the boundaries, but there's three districts. Kauai is divided in three districts.
Basically, like North Shore, East Side, and Southwest Side, yeah?
Yes, West Side, East Side, and North Shore.
So what are the issues and the primary responsibilities of these different offices?
Well, what we've been doing, because of our complications with license and driver's license and license plates, we have documented war crimes, you know, when they ticket us for doing that. I mean, it's documented that these are all war crimes because we have the human right to form our own government. And we even use U.S. law, I mean, state law, in court, defending our right to have those license plates and driver's license. There's a state law, 359, that says that the Native Hawaiian people have the right to form their own sovereign nation. And it's in 1993 that this passed. This is a law. Act 359 gives us the right to form our own nation. And when we do, the state doesn't recognize it. Yeah, they're breaking their own laws. So we have evidence of war crimes.
Can you explain?
Hawaiian National.
Can you explain to the listener who's maybe only hearing this perhaps for the first time how that is a war crime? War crime sounds like a really serious thing.
It is. It is. That's why you need treaties between two parties. In our case, we don't have a treaty. America broke it. We had a treaty of peace and commerce and navigation. They broke that. Okay, and they came and brought their laws here, full-on capitalists. You can't even tell the difference between here and the mainland, driving on the roads. So they've actually turned Hawaiian Kingdom into the United States.
But if you look at the historical record, just because the House and the Senate pass a joint resolution that somebody else's country is theirs, it doesn't make it so.
Yes, but there's a lot of acquiescing going on here where people know it's wrong, but they're still doing it. So that's what we've got to do. We've got to hold these officials' feet to the fire. And which constitution are they supporting? The fraudulent one or the perfect qualification one?
So how do we, in your mind, what are the actual concrete steps that we can all agree to take moving forward after we stop arguing about whether this is a legitimate process or not?
The first question you should ask is, do you support the Hawaiian Kingdom? That's the first question. From there, it's either uphill or downhill. But they have to answer that, the officials.
What would that mean for someone like, you know, for example, me?
That question.
For someone like me, I don't hold public office, but I live here on this island. It's a beautiful place. I wasn't born here, but I was called to come here.
You know, everybody that went to school here has learned about the illegal occupation. It's called the illegal overthrow. Every school kid knows that. But in reality, the wrong laws are in place, and everybody here knows that. So what we need is options outside of the regular system. And we don't have that. That's why Hawaiian government is the only option.
So
for regaining our authority. Now, this is not a new thing. We're just reclaiming ours. Our assets, our jurisdictions. That's all we want to do is reclaim them, not create a new one. It's being used by a foreign entity, the United States.
That seems pretty reasonable to me. What kind of things could I do as an individual that would be in concert with what it is that you're looking for?
Support the Hawaiian Kingdom. Support the government that we're trying to do our elections. And acknowledge the interference of the United States. And I'm talking about OHA, Hawaiian homes, and local politicians. Hawaiian politicians, you got to watch them because they're playing two sides. And they'll go with their money, their paycheck. And that's what they're doing this. They're enforcing everything because of their paychecks.
Well, they get paid to do it, yeah?
Yes. And that's pillaging. That's a war crime. All these Hawaiian, state of Hawaii assets belong to the Hawaiian Kingdom. We still have jurisdiction here. When people realize that it's being fraudulently used, they will shift because we give them that option. They have that option to become part of the Hawaiian Kingdom.
So someone like me, I'm a student of history. I'm a student of the Hawaiian culture. I've read the history books. I feel I have a pretty clear understanding of what you're talking about. That seems reasonable for me to support. I would like to, is there some kind of test I could take for citizenship to qualify to have a...
Yeah, we have a whole process for nationalizing you.
Now it's,
but right now, it's, you can't do it for the elections.
Yeah, because it's too close.
Too close. You can't fulfill it.
But...
One of the obligations is to give up U.S. citizen. You got to give it up.
That seems like that's asking a lot from people.
Yes.
Because
it's very serious.
Well, it's a serious thing.
And that's the problem, is that in America, Americans own USA. Here, we don't have the owners because our government is missing, making citizens. The citizens are the owners. And that's what this process is all about, recognizing the Hawaiian citizen. Because we're the owners of Hawaii, the Hawaiian national, Kanaka Maoli, automatic. That's why it's their obligation to get together, come back to the government, because without the Kanaka, it can't be done. So this election is very important.
It seems so.
For the Kanaka person and the future and all the other kids coming up. This is for their future. It's very serious.
Yeah, it seems like
and
it's...
And Mauna Kea is calling. Okay? Don't forget that. It's real. Things are happening. This is the time. Leon Seo is taking care of stuff in the United Nations. Pakistan has been telling America that Hawaii, Alaska, and Dakotas belong in international law, not U.S. domestic law. It's already been acknowledged. So the other nations realize that and know that the people want their lands back. The world knows that. But now it's up to us grassroots to get our stuff together and form this government. It's 5 elections already.
Well, it seems like it's a tremendous amount of work, but work that is well worth doing to bring back a functional Hawaiian government to address the needs of the people and the lands and the water here and be able to have the staff and the facility and the resources and the departments and the agencies
and get our history back.
Sure.
Take it back. Not have America desecrated like the Indians. No, I don't want to end up like that. And that's happening. Look at the monument. They want to close off our oceans. Yeah, we got to step it up. Be serious. Or else they're going to take everything from us. And each year it gets harder and harder.
How would you direct people, maybe not even Kanaka, but people of good faith and good spirit who support what you're proposing, how would you direct them to get involved, learn more, and plug into what you're doing?
Simple 3 things. Hawaiian laws in Hawaiian courts. Not U.S. laws in Hawaiian courts. We are not in America. If we just say that, that's enough said. You all know where you're at. Okay, truth and justice. Those are our foundations.
For folks who want to get onto the pathway to citizenship, what are the first steps they need to take?
Okay, after these elections, I can probably talk better about that.
Okay, I mean, because, I'm serious. Talking. I don't think you're playing make-believe.
Jonathan, I want a line. That's what I want. I don't want one person. I want a line of people lined up, ready to listen to the message. And I'll tell you what. There's a safeguard built in, and a number of nationals that we make a year, and there's only 500. Okay, so there's going to be a line. We put a safeguard so that we don't get outnumbered again.
So 500 new citizens per year.
Yeah. Safeguard.
Okay, so then 2016 will be a new year.
Yes.
Well, I want to wish you a tremendous luck, good fortune, and lots of participation. At each and every one of the voting centers in Kekaha, Kalaheo, Lihue, Kapa'a, Anahola, and all the way up in Waipa. You say it's on September 12th. It's a yes. Saturday, and the polls will be open from 8 to 5. Well, I hope that there are long lines for folks getting registering that day, Kanaka, able to register that day and vote.
Yes,
it sounds
yes.
like those are...
Kanaka, come on board. Let's go. Let's do it.
It sounds like those are concrete, real-world steps that people can take.
Yes.
I've lived here for, not very long, only a little bit more, 10 years.
Jonathan, you've come a long way.
Well, there's a lot of people who very carefully and very patiently explain all these things to people over and over and over again.
You had the will to learn all that, and I can see how a big change there is in you. I'm really impressed. And it's possible that other people can do that too. In fact, that's what I'm expecting. Truth and justice to prevail.
Is there information, like a telephone number or a website, where people can go and follow up on what you've said?
Yes, the website is www.reinstated.org. It has our history on there.
And is there a phone number for folks who don't have the internet webs?
I don't have it in front of me.
Is there contact for you that you would want to give out?
Yes. You can contact me at the Huli Huli Stand. I'm open every weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Okay, and this is at the side of the road in Anahola.
Anahola, yes. Huli Huli Chicken.
All right, K.O. Well, thank you so much for calling in. Really appreciate that. And if it's possible, you can get some of the candidates, some of the people who are standing for office, the legislature or some nobles, come up to the station here on a Tuesday afternoon or maybe Thursday next before the 12th. That would be wonderful.
Yes, yes. I'll try to do that.
Let me give you my email address so you can contact me. It's jjkawaii@gmail.org.
Okay, got it.
And I'd be happy to invite some of your panel, your guests on to my show or try and work something out with the other talk show hosts. Make sure you guys get access to the airwaves.
Yes, mahalo.
All right, well, thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Okay, see you then.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Well, the phone lines are open, 826-7771. And we got a caller right away. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, hi, aloha. Yeah, I'd like to call in. I'm to a backup Kale. And I can answer some questions for you from that perspective of becoming a naturalized, as you know, from American citizen. Back about the time they had the first full page ad in the newspaper, to advertise, to make the proclamation that the Hawaiian Kingdom was coming back. It was about the time I had just got through reading the Queen Liliuokalani's book, Hawaii Story. And at the end of that book, is her letter to the good Christians of America. And, I'll start with the foundation. In that letter, I wish I had it in front of me, but you can look it up. The Queen Liliuokalani's letter.
What's the name of that book?
Hawaii Story.
Hawaii Story.
Yeah. And there's a really good webpage. Keanu Sai, the brother-in-law of our prime minister, he wrote a good page on the web, A Case for Sovereignty.
I read that. That's pretty interesting.
Case for Sovereignty. Okay, well, that letter from the Queen is in that page. And it explains, my first and foremost, I'm a Christian. And in that letter, the Queen, she was a hardcore Christian. In fact, the Hawaiian Kingdom was a bona fide Christian nation. They declared that. That was official. And she said, give back this little vineyard of Naboth so far from your shores, lest the curse of Ahab fall on you, and if not on you in your children's day. Story of Naboth's vineyard, it goes back to when, it's in 1 Kings 21, but Naboth had a vineyard right next to Ahab's place, and Ahab wanted it. And he went over and asked him, and Naboth said, no, it's my ancestor, Kuleana. I cannot give it.
And did Ahab talk to his friend, and they said, well, you and I vote that's our vineyard now, so get out.
No, Jezebel came home, and Naboth was bummed out. She said, why are you bummed out? And he told her. And so she set it up. She set up Naboth. Long story short, she had him killed. And she came home and told Ahab, okay, you can have it now. But then the prophet, I forget which one, Nathan, one of the prophets came and told Ahab, hey, you're cursed now, you know, because you took this guy's land. And Ahab, he actually repented and said, sorry. So then the prophet came back and said, okay, well, the curse is not going to fall on you. It's going to fall on your kids.
That's not super.
Yeah, so anyway, that's what the queen is referring to. And that's why America, well, one of the reasons America is being cursed right now, I believe, because, you know, that curse, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And she called it, and she said, you know, let the curse on Ahab fall on you, or in your children's day, which is right now. But in any case, after I read that, you know, and the Holy Spirit led me to get involved, and so, that was about the time. They had the first pro tem, all the positions in the Hawaiian Kingdom government were filled by, I don't know how they chose the pro tem representatives, but, you know, the government was filled, and they voted, and we set up for the first constitutional convention that...
This was back in the 90s, yeah?
Yeah, this was back at the first pro tem assembly was in Anahola Beach Park. And we set up for the first constitutional convention was in Waimea Big Island. And that is where I personally renounced my American citizenship and I swore my allegiance to the Hawaiian Kingdom.
So let me ask you about that if I could.
Sure.
Because, you know, it's one thing to say, okay, this is a historical wrong that should be righted. It's not enough to say I'm sorry. You have to take proactive steps to correct the wrong. Like, for example, if you drop a dish on the floor, you can't look at the dish and say, oh, I'm sorry, and then it's, like, magically reassembled again. You have to get the glue, and you got to, like, do the work and put it back together again. So, okay, fine. I'm good with that. That makes sense to me.
Exactly. That's what we did. We put together the original kingdom government that was in place. In the original overthrow.
And that's a painstaking process, and I acknowledge and understand that you cannot do that overnight.
Right.
It's complicated to...
We've been, little by little. In fact, at the... I went to every Mauna Kea Kanawai, the constituting of the assembly. I went to every one, from the very beginning, the first few years. At Kona is one where I was on the committee, was designated on the committee to bring out the laws of the original kingdom laws. There's a big volumes of kingdom laws and statutes that they had in place. It was a real country, a real government.
Sure, sure.
With 91
international recognition. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, we're bringing them out, little by little. Right now we're working on, the right to travel. That's been one of the first ones, and now we're working on ID, INA to identify the kingdom property. And it's a process, and it's all the laws of nations is the foundation that we're going by. Now,
here's my question for you, because you have the legal theory that you are attempting to redress. This is the application of international law, and
right,
you're in the process of reconstituting the Hawaiian government, not just as an idea, but in fact with, articles and a code and a constitution and agencies and bureaus, because a law, a government is not just an idea.
Yeah, we're in the process of filling the position.
Yeah, and that will take some time. And
yeah, last night at the district meeting in Anahola, we discussed the courts. The positions we need to fill is the courts. We need the judges and all the elements of the judiciary branch.
So here's my question. When someone is a citizen of the United States, there's a Department of Transportation, there's a Internal Revenue Service, there's Social Security, there's all these things. You pay your taxes and you get services from that government. You get to participate. But there isn't a functional Hawaiian government yet.
Oh, yeah, it is totally functional.
Well, but I mean, like, they're not paving the roads, they're not staffing the airports, they're not providing medical services, all those kinds of things. And that's not a dig. That's not a dig. I'm just saying, like, those things take time. So,
yeah, right.
So from the perspective of an individual like myself, for example, right now, as a citizen of the U.S., I have certain responsibilities and I have certain privileges or rights or services that are granted to me. So if I renounce my U.S. citizenship in favor of the Hawaiian kingdom, but the Hawaiian kingdom isn't fully functional in place yet, I'm like naked.
Well, not exactly, because America won't let me go yet. Our names have been, there's a handful of us, and our names have been submitted to the State Department, but they won't let me go yet.
But that's my question. That's my concern.
Right.
If I'm giving up something, if I'm giving up something concrete for something which is a good idea and is gonna come into being but doesn't really exist yet in full, then I'm trading something for nothing.
Well, if you have a contract, Social Security or whatever, any of that stuff, that's a contract. That's not something that they can take away because you become a Hawaiian national.
Well, see, I don't know the answers to these questions. That's why I'm asking. And I imagine if I have these questions, and, maybe somebody else does too. So
right.
That's why I try to ask them. And, I don't want to be the only one asking the questions. So the number here, phone lines are open, is 826-7771. And I'm happy to hear any kind of mana'o or insight that you can share. But I'm not going to, I'm not going to rely on you to have all the answers. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, I can ramble on for a good while, but I'll leave you with this for the Christians. There's a, in the Proverbs, it says he that justifies the wicked and he that condemns the just, both of them are abomination to the Lord. And there's a lot of Christians I know. I say, well, it was stolen fair and square, and we just got to go with the flow. But it says right here, probably, the wisest man, Solomon, if you justify the wicked, the thieves of the land, and condemn the just, the ones that are trying to get their land back, they're both an abomination to the Lord. And I'll just leave it at that. And, connect with Kale. And he's got my number if you want to find out more from my perspective, too.
All right, well, thank you very much. Really appreciate you calling in and sharing your perspective.
All right, God bless. Aloha.
All right, aloha. And if you want to find out more, you can go to reinstated.org. I don't know exactly what is over at reinstated.org, so I'm going to check it out. But first, I'm going to take a little break here on the mic myself. I got to get a drink of water. My throat's kind of getting scratchy. And we're going to go back to the archives here, out of the box from yesteryear. If I can get this to go. Well, we'll see. We'll see what we got here. We'll be back in just a bit. You're listening to Out of the Box on KKCR, KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, Kauai Community Radio, the station that loves you. afternoon brown chicken brown cow on Out of the Box here on KKCR, the station that loves you. Thanks so much for calling in, caller. The phones are open after you, 826-7771. Thank you so much for calling in. What is on your heart or mind?
Aloha, Jonathan. What a great show today. Wonderful. Learning so much. I do have a question for Kale or maybe someone else from the Lawful Hawaiian Government. I went on to the website Lawful Hawaiian Government and also reinstated.org, and I looked all around, and what I'm trying to find is a list of candidates that are running for the various offices.
Well, that's a great question.
For, and could not find that at all. It shows what positions there are, you know, who's currently the ministers and the nobles and all that, but it doesn't have a list of the candidates for office so that I could make a wise choice when I cast my ballot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, maybe they need a new webmaster. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, you know, which is not a dig, because all this stuff is a tremendous amount of work, and I'm sure nobody gets paid to do this, because I don't think the Hawaiian lawful government has a revenue mechanism yet. But we've got somebody else who's calling right behind you.
Uh-huh. The other thing was, too, that...
I was going to bring them on, because maybe they have an answer to your question.
Well, on the site as well, there's a place where you can register to vote, and there's a box where you check Kanaka Maoli or non-Kanaka Maoli. And I was under the impression, from what Keo said, that you had to be Kanaka Maoli to vote.
I think, as it was explained to me by Kikani Pa, is that all Kanaka Maoli, all persons of Native Hawaiian descent, are automatically citizens in the government. But the Hawaiian Kingdom back in the day was not a racially determined country. Anybody who wanted to come to the islands and educate themselves about the law of the land and was willing to take an oath to be faithful to that government was allowed to be a citizen. And you know, like in the 1840s and 50s, it didn't matter if you were Englishman or an African, you could own property here and you could participate and you could vote. I think the Hawaiian Kingdom had universal suffrage. I don't know if it was men and women, but certainly a long time before they had anything like that in the U.S.
But I definitely want to become a Hawaiian subject. I want to apply. I want to do whatever's necessary to become a subject of the Hawaiian Kingdom. I am not Kanaka Maoli, but I call myself Kanaka A because I totally have the heart of the Hawaii and Kanaka Maoli.
So Kanaka A.
My question is, I'm saying that on the site there's a place to register to vote, and it's saying you can register as a Kanaka Maoli or non-Kanaka Maoli, and maybe I misunderstood, but what I heard Keo saying was that you had to be Kanaka Maoli to vote in this upcoming election.
So, yeah, so as Kikani Pa was explaining it to me, and I may not have it completely correct, but if you're Kanaka Maoli, you're automatically considered to be a citizen, and if you're Kanaka A, a person, Kanaka A from somewhere else, from elsewhere, then you're required to take a citizenship test, and that takes some time, and evidently they don't have... evidently you can't do that same day.
Oh, so I can't. So on the site, there's a place for me to register to vote, but you're thinking that I might not, I can register, but I might not be able to vote in this upcoming election?
That's my understanding, yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Which, you know, is not ideal, but hey, it's complicated to do all this stuff. So.
Yes, for sure.
Now, what website did you go to?
It was called. I went to the one that the Reinstated Hawaiian Kingdom at first, and then I didn't find all the information I wanted. So then I went to the Lawful Hawaiian Government.
Okay, because I went to reinstated.org, which is what I thought he said, and that seemed like it's something else.
Yeah, there is a Reinstated Hawaiian Kingdom. I think they kind of lead back to the same place, but the one that had the most information was Lawful Hawaiian Government.
All right.
LawfulHawaiianGovernment.org, I believe.
I'm checking it out right now.
And it has some good information, but like I said, I wanted to learn about the candidates, you know, who's running for what.
Okay. So
I think Kale is running against... ke kane pa.
Okay.
For that noble position. That's kind of what I see. He's in that position, you know, for Kauai as a noble from whatever district that he represents. But I think that's one of the people that Keo is running against.
Okay, so I see lawfulhawaiiangovernment.net.
Okay.
But that seems to be, it says, have you registered to vote in 2011? So that's a little bit out of date.
Okay.
So I'm going to go check out lawfulhawaiiangovernment.org. And that one looks pretty good. Enter. Click. Okay. E como mai? The Lawful Hawaiian Government. So, okay, then there's a video here from Henry Noah, who's the prime minister. And they got a whole bunch of links here. Home, history, constitutional monarchy, offices, executive branch, legislative, judicial, current events. I'm going to click on that one.
Yeah, see if there's anything on election.
Current events. Here we go. 2015, lawful Hawaiian government elections.
Yes.
Okay, what does he say? It says, aloha kakou. The recent and ongoing reports out of OHA regarding the uproar over so a little while ago, OHA sent a letter to John Kerry asking for clarification about this whole Department of the Interior and
right.
all that stuff. So it's about that. That's the first paragraph there. But then it talks about... there shall be appointed on each island, here we go, elections deputy commissioner to organize and conduct the island's election process. And there's going to be district elections. Okay, so they got precinct captains, registrars. This is all starting to sound pretty familiar. This
right.
is like real election stuff. So
there's one page that says register to vote, and there's a place where you can register to vote, and then you have to put in, you know, your address and everything, and then it has your Kanaka Maoli status, and there's Kanaka Maoli or non-Kanaka Maoli.
Okay.
So, you know, if I were to check non-Kanaka Maoli and I submit this, I wonder if that's registration to vote.
Yeah, I cannot say for sure, but hey, you know what? Try it and see what happens. And if you don't hear back from anybody between now and September 12th,
uh-huh.
I would go check out, you know, one of the polling locations, what Keo said,
mm-hmm.
In Ke Kaha, Kalaheo, Lihue, Kapa'a mm-hmm. Neighborhood Center, Anahola Clubhouse, or up in Waipa, whatever is most close for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this particular form, register to vote, I'm noticing over the categories, it's 2011 elections. This might be kind of an older registration form or something. Resolutions. This looks like it's the 2011 stuff. So maybe
that was for the previous fourth cycle.
Yes. Well, I'll keep looking. But if you guys learn anything, you know, please pass it along.
Well, I commend you for your diligence and thank you for passing on the information about those links.
Okay.
Good luck to you.
Uh-huh.
Right, thanks for calling in. The phone lines are open, 826-7771. Got about 15 more minutes for this show until Evolve. Dove will be coming in to satisfy your musical pleasures for the first part of the evening. Gonna slip into the mystery train after that, and then Loco Moco with the Commodore. So you got, what is that, like 6 hours of fantastic live DJ music, and then the whole night long archive of amazing Hawaiian stuff. So stick around for that. We got a caller calling in right now. See, we get you here. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, Jonathan. Great show you got going. Hey, I was just wanting to let that woman know that it's to become a citizen in the reinstated government, the Kingdom of Hawaii, it's not just sign up onto a form and you can go vote. There is a test that you have to go through.
Sure, you have to demonstrate competency, yeah?
Yes, exactly. There's an allegiance, an oath that you take to the Hawaiian government. You have to disavow your American citizenship, your Canadian citizenship, or wherever you may be citizen of. But when you think about it, how could you really be a citizen of America and Hawaii at the same time? I mean, they're an occupying force.
Yeah, it's really tricky to even start thinking about it because that's, you know, like they never taught us how to think that way in school. So it's like,
well,
you have to use your imagination.
Okay. Well, I've made an oath to the Kingdom of Hawaii, and feel we need to support the Hawaiian people in this effort. And also, to be supporting the American government and be a part of it, you're somewhat complicit in what's going on here, in the oppression of these people.
Yeah, I mean, if you're backing the backers.
Yes, exactly.
So if I could ask you, what's your background? When did you first learn about this? And what motivated you to take the steps that you did?
Well, just by educating myself mostly about what really happened. I've been a citizen since 1999, the beginning of it. And, you know, you'd say, oh, no, what I would lose if I became a citizen of the Kingdom of Hawaii. You know, if you want to get their welfare, perhaps, or if you want to get some, I don't even know if you probably still get food stamps and all that stuff, but they're not really wanting, you know, that shouldn't be the motivation. What can I get for free? And I'll allege myself, or, you know, I will support that effort, you know, because they're going to give me food stamps or they're going to give me something. That's like being bought in a lot of ways.
Well, that's not really what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is, you know, you can have a good discussion and debate about the moral foundation of the U.S. government, whatever. I'm just saying that they provide goods and services in exchange for the taxes that they will compel you to pay. So, if you're not a citizen of the U.S. anymore, what are the consequences of that? And what can the...
I've been a citizen since 1990. What's that, 16 years? There have been no consequences about it at all. But the American government, they're saying they don't want to accept it, or they won't accept the reinstated government as a valid government. Of course they won't, or they'd have to give it up.
So
they'd have to acknowledge them and come to some kind of agreement of how we're going to work this out.
So does the U.S. government still want you to pay taxes to them?
Yeah, they do, sure.
Do you still get to serve on jury duty? Do you still get to vote? You know, these are... I'm not trying to cause problems. I'm trying to ask, like, okay, well, what are the real-world concrete consequences of the serious decision that you are presenting? Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, well, when you get some more support from the people, all those things would be verified, or how it's going to work out. Yeah, under international law and lawyers across the world, they already acknowledge that this was an illegal overthrow of this government. It's being held illegally still. I don't know how much American can hold out. The UN recognizes it as a sovereign kingdom. So,
I don't contest any of that. I don't contest any of that. That all seems pretty reasonable.
You support it.
I do support that, but I don't know what I'm being asked to do to support. Like, do I think it's a good idea?
Well,
sure.
Holy cow, go to some of the meetings they're putting together and all that. It's right there.
Okay, well, you know, that sounds good, because I always like to learn more.
Okay. Well, very good. That's mostly I wanted to tell that woman that it's more than just signing up on a piece of paper, that you support them, and that's appreciated, of course, but they want you to be knowledgeable of what really happened with the government, with the overthrow of the queen, you know, how the government is put together. And so it's not a free thing. You have to educate yourself about it. You have to be here for a certain amount of time. I believe it's 5 years before you're eligible for citizenship. There are some other qualifications. But anyway, I thank you for the show.
Well, thank you very much for calling in. Really appreciate you sharing your perspective and the things that you've learned.
All right. Thank you, Jonathan.
So the phone lines are open once again, 826-7771. Yep, totally free and clear. Nobody on the phone right now. You call in, you won't even have to wait in line. You can call in and register and be signed up to be a citizen of the show all in one move. So in the meantime, phone line's open, 826-7771. We can talk more about the reinstated Hawaiian Kingdom. We can talk more about anything that you want. This is wide open. So in the meantime, we're going to go scrape the back walls of the archive here and dip into Out of the Box from yesteryear when Ron Wiley was our guest in the studio.
I mean, everything.
That's not a pretty picture.
Everything. No, do you go to her house? It's a great house.
No, I'm just thinking of recycled food. Secondhand food. I don't know about that.
That and it was something that we grew up knowing about and talking about, and in fact, recently, my niece, who's an Arizona state representative, got quite a bit of coverage because of that, because of what my mom taught her, too. And she's in Arizona now working hard to get the state of Arizona to embrace recycling, redemption, and we all need a little redemption every once in a while. And
is the Pope still doing that, or is he engaged in side business
these days? He needs some redemption, from what I hear.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, part of the reason, I guess, you know, we wanted to have you in here.
Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Oh, wait, here we go. How about now? There we go. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Okay. Try call back. Phone lines again open. 826-7771. Go back to an old archive version of Out of the Box with Ron Wiley, already in progress.
So that you can use it, so that if you have important information, you can get it out, or you can find out what's going on, or you can join the conversation and kind of enter in at a peer level with what's going on in society, as opposed to just being like the passive recipient of everything that happens. So one of the things that I thought would be a good idea, because we have three shows this month, because it's just the way the stagger weeks work, is if we could take a look at other media online.
Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Right. How's it?
Good. How are you?
Good. I actually haven't been listening to the radio for a while.
Oh, you're a little muffled, caller. Can you try to speak directly into the phone, please?
Okay. Hello?
Oh, much better. Thank you.
Much better, yeah. Sometimes I got to blow my speaker out. Yeah, I haven't been listening to the radio, but by chance, just so happened to turn it on and, found the station and heard the previous caller talking about Hawaiian rights, I guess supporting the movement.
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a discussion about the lawful Hawaiian government and their efforts. They're having elections again. This is their fifth round of elections, and they're going to have ballot locations across the islands, but then across Kauai as well, in Ke Kaha, Kalaheo, Lihue, Kapa'a Neighborhood Center, Anahola Clubhouse, and Waipa on September 12th. That's a Saturday, from 8 to 5. And Keo, one of the people involved in that effort, I believe, is running for office, and was explaining that any Kanaka Maoli can show up and register and vote all in one day.
Wow. That's kind of interesting. I mean, being a Hawaiian myself, I'm not familiar with this. That's a shame.
Well, if you want to learn more, he gave a website, and we check it out. It's the lawfulhawaiiangovernment.org. And they seem to have a lot of information there, so it'd be a good opportunity to go there, check it out, and see what you think.
That sounds good. I mean, is this station set up for the native Hawaiians?
Well, KKCR is kind of an all-access community radio station, but one of the things that we are committed to in our mission statement is to, let me see if I can get the language correct here. Hold on a second. I'm going to pull this up. Yeah, we have a broad mission here at the station. But there we go. Can read this to you. KKCR is an independent, non-commercial, listener-supported community radio station. And our mission is to stimulate, educate, and entertain, to preserve, perpetuate, and celebrate Hawaiian culture, and reflect the diversity of local and the world community. So we try and be access to the airways, access to give people the opportunity and a chance to be able to speak their mind and to explore ideas that aren't necessarily getting, sit in the front row in the mainstream. So, yeah, that's what we're all about. We've got 70, 80 volunteers who come in here day in, day out. Like Slim, who's behind me right now, has got a show coming up in about 2 hours called Mystery Train. Plays all kinds of amazingly twangy music. And, you know, out of the box, this show is a two-hour weekly community affairs call-in show. So if you're just scanning the dial and you found KKCR, then welcome home.
All right. Yeah, I had a, I guess maybe somebody else could call in after I present this question. I guess I got a dilemma with, I'm Native Hawaiian. My grandmother's about 80%. So she was kind of caught up in the, you know, she's a product of the abolishment of the language and the culture.
Yeah, a lot of people really, really suffered under that.
Yeah, so I mean, so a lot of statutes and laws was made to gain Hawaiian homes. You know, with 50% being the minimum.
Yeah, the quantum.
I don't know anything about it. I just kind of know breathless. Just kind of hearsay from word of mouth, talking with others and stuff. But isn't 50% a lot? I mean, my grandmother is the only one accessible to the list. My mother wouldn't be. I don't think she should be able to get on the list. She barely reached 50.
Yeah, well, to me personally, it seems like an incredibly raw deal. One that, in fact, was most likely designed to limit the number of Hawaiians who would be able to qualify to get space to build homes on their own land. So if it were up to me, any person with one drop of Hawaiian blood, with any even only one Hawaiian ancestor, anybody with Hawaiian ancestry, to me, there's a Hawaiian enough. I'm not going to set some kind of arbitrary level of quantum.
How would we go about, with all these people, all these Hawaiians getting together, all these Kanaks getting together for this Mauna Kea, how can we, start maybe a discussion with, with things like this to address our sustainability as a race?
Yeah.
I like the idea of protecting Mauna Kea because it breaks off from the monotony of the Western ways, the thinking. It kind of gets you thinking outside of the box instead of the same old thing every day,
Right.
Get up, go work. And we basically, it's modern day slavery, what we're going through. We don't really own our, my mom didn't know, I'm a renter. Me and my girlfriend rents our house. We pay $1,500 for a two bedroom.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And that's a lot. I mean, I wonder how much people out there that is, going through the same struggle.
Yeah, a lot. And actually, $1,500 for a two bedroom, that's actually a pretty good deal in today's market, which is oppressive.
That's a great deal. That's actually a great deal. We're kind of getting a good deal with our situation.
Yeah, but it's still a lot of money.
Excuse me?
It's still a lot of money. That's like
it is a lot of money. We live paycheck to paycheck.
Sure, like so many people do. And it's funny because we have this capital system, whatever, and we're all kind of equally oppressed by it. So therefore, it's fair. What?
It is fair until what? Till we get up and stand up and unite and march around the state capitol. I'm saying it's unfair.
Well, it's just, it's like a $1, one vote system. And as long as you're a billionaire, then everything's fantastic.
I mean, with Hawaii being overpopulated with these one percenters, the upper class, then, the millionaires, who's, to buy a house, it's about 700,000.
Yeah, I mean, if you
average,
if you can buy a house here on Kauai in average, hey, you know what? You're a millionaire. And it just goes to show you that you have to be a millionaire to own your own home. It's crazy.
It is crazy. So, I mean, what, just throwing it out there, what could be a way to, I mean, I wouldn't even know how to start.
Well, I
uniting the people. I like this amount of care. When I present it to my grandmother, there, my mother, they always say, and this is their thinking, right? They always say, this, the Hawaiians just let it go. It's over. It's done. But it's that kind of thinking we're trying to get away from. It's not done. Like you guys said in the last caller said that we were occupied illegally.
Yeah, so here we are in this modern day world where you have this legacy. You know, these are historical facts. So the question is, and this is in all of our laps, you know, no matter where you come from, no matter what your background, no matter what your beliefs, your ideas, hey, this is a reality. Now what are we going to do? And we got to come up with solutions that work for everybody, because if we come up with solutions that only work for some, hey, guess what? It doesn't work for everybody, so it's no good. I really appreciate that you called in. Coming to the end of the show, I'd like for you to stick around and get some contact information, because I'd like to have you call in a lot earlier next time, and maybe we can work out the kind of the contours for a show where we begin the show with the questions that you're asking.
Yeah, it was meant to be, man. For all the Hawaiians out there, man, call in. I'm curious. I don't know. At the same time, I know we as a people deserve more than what we're getting right now.
Well, I really appreciate you calling in, and I'm going to ask for you to stick around as we come to the end of the show here. You've been listening to Out of the Box. And coming up next, we're going to have Dove with Evolve, a wonderful evening of music. So I'm going to say aloha, ahui ho, and malama pono, and stick around.
All right.
Gonna eat me alive.